Greetings and grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this third Sunday of Easter is going to be taken from Daniel. I felt like the Lord was leading me to go in a different direction today. So anyways, we're going to read from Daniel chapter 6. It should be a very familiar part of Scripture, even for the youth. And it's a story that we've shared many times, I'm sure, as raising children. We're going to read from chapter 6, verses 1 through 23. You can remain seated for this, as it's an Old Testament reading, and it's a little longer, so I feel more comfortable if you stay comfortable yourselves. We'll read this in Jesus' name. Daniel 6, 1. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the high officials and the satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground to complaint or any fault, because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. These men said, "We shall not find ground for complaint against Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Then these officials and the satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom and the prefects and the satraps and the counselors and the governors are all agreed that the king should establish an ordinance to enforce an injunction that whosoever makes a petition to any god or man for 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document of injunction. And when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in the upper chamber and open towards Jerusalem. And he got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and a plea before his God. Then they came near and said to the king concerning the injunction, "O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Then they answered and said before the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was much displeased and set his mind to deliver Daniel. He labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said, "King, know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and the Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed." Then the king commanded that Daniel be brought and cast into the den of the lions, and the king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." And so a stone was brought and laid at the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, and nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. And the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at daybreak, the king arose and went in haste to the den of the lions. And he came near the den where Daniel was, and he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel to shut the mouth of the lions, and they have not harmed me, because I have been found blameless before him and also before you. O king, I have done no harm. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found in him, because he trusted in God. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Father, this is your word that is before us. We ask by the inspiration of the Spirit that you would speak, that men and flesh would be silent, and that we would be sanctified in truth, because, Father, there is no truth outside of your word. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So Daniel is a story that, you know, we always talk about many different aspects of it. But, you know, we have that song even that we sing to our children, Dare to be a Daniel. And sometimes I think we can take that quite lighthearted. But really, to be able to stand in the midst of trial, to be able to stand in all kinds of persecution is very huge. Sometimes I have a hard time standing when I got a hangnail. I get very worked up over the dumbest things as a human being. We know that this comes after Daniel has already won favor with many kings. And the reality of it is he even finds favor and he brings some of his friends in, if we could say that, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we understand that they, when they were not willing to bow down to the golden statue erected in the name of their king, that they were cast into what we call the fiery furnace, right? And so we have that scenario where that fiery furnace was so hot that even the men that threw them in there were consumed. But they would not bow down. They were standing firm. And so you have that example, which I think is very powerful. And I'm sure that that example has been talked about throughout the kingdom for generations, you know. But the fact of it is now you're given another scene here where standing firm is not always the easiest. But I think really, when you are found in the Spirit of God, if I could say it in this fashion, God makes it sound pretty easy. And I'm not saying it's easy, but he gives the strength. He gives the ability. So they started getting jealous. We don't even really know who Darius is. Basically, his name is not mentioned. Any other writings that we can find, I'm sure maybe some might be able to, but I couldn't find it. More or less, a lot of people figure that he governed Babylon after, you know, 539 BC when Daniel was taken captive. And they kind of believe, there's some of the church fathers that speak more in this aspect of that this could be Cyrus. His mother was a Mede, and more or less that she didn't name him Cyrus. I don't know how much truth is to that. But the point is, there's not a lot here about Darius. But anyways, so we don't have a lot of information, but what we're given here is that he is the man in charge. Let's say it very bluntly. He's the man in charge. He's set over the kingdom, and he now has basically it's about 120 sections of this country that he's in charge of. We'd call them counties, whatever you may want to call it, provinces. But the fact of it is he sets what we call more princes, people in charge. We might call him a manager, whatever. So there's 120 people that are set in position in each area. And they are to basically keep peace, make sure that no one's robbing the kingship or nothing like that. So there's 120 of these individuals that are in charge. And then he sets three official, and I'm going to say more or less governors. And that's just for my word. And so you turn around and you see he sets three individuals that are in charge of all of these princes that are in charge of the area. So he says, of that, Daniel was one. Now, Daniel's probably in his 80s by now. He's getting quite up there. And so he served for quite a while. But the point is, Daniel is one of these individuals. And so these satraps, they have to give account to these individuals, one of the three, so that the king would not suffer any loss, as we even see here. But Daniel has something special about him. See, Daniel trusts in his father. He trusts in God. And so he has this, if you could say it, this aura, this demeanor, this personality, this, well, it's a faith in reality that speaks in his life. So Daniel becomes quite distinguished, separated from the others. There's three of the high officials, and Daniel sticks out like a shining star. Okay? And so, why? Because he had, in reality, an excellent spirit. Very powerful individual that had a deep faith, that did things honorable. And what I think is really interesting is you can see this. You can see this because Daniel, in the account that we have, he doesn't change his demeanor at all. He doesn't change his position. But when he starts gaining fame with the king, the others, you can see their true colors coming out. And I think this really shows the excellent spirit. Who are we when we live our lives, when we face jealousy, when we face greed, when we face persecution, when we face anything? Who are we? I remember there was a class that we took at seminary, and it always kind of bugged me because it was a very difficult book for me to read. In fact, my wife read it to me because I couldn't read it. It was too difficult for me, and it was Tielecki's book on ethics. And one of the statements that he makes more or less in that book is you can tell me your ethics all day long, but when I see a man in the position, I will see his ethic. We can say we'll do a lot of things. Oh, I would never do this. I would never do this. I would never do this. I wouldn't try to put a man, you know, in the lion's den. I wouldn't be jealous of his position. If he does well, good for him. But all of a sudden have somebody start gaining popularity above and beyond you, and you can see the ethic of the individual. And I think that's what we're seeing here. He has a wonderful spirit, an excellent spirit, and then we're going to see the weakness of his counterparts. And so when he starts to pull out ahead of the crowd, if you could say it in this way, the king has this plan. I'm going to set him in charge of everything. You know, I'm going to set him over my whole kingdom because this man is honorable. He stands up for the right thing. And so he has favor once again with another king. So the high officials and all of these princes, they sought to find ground to complain against Daniel. Isn't that sometimes in our humanness what we have a tendency to do? When we find someone succeeding and doing well, we oftentimes want to find a fault so that we can either raise ourselves up or lower them down or make it more equal. I don't know. But it's our own struggle. And we live in this world now. We may not think we do, but we continue to live in this world. Because when we look even in the world of politics, there's not one of them that says a good thing about anybody. It's like, how can a building be full of such worthless people? Wow, I said that out loud? Well, every one of them thinks the other one's worthless, so that's what it must be. And this is my point. When we get jealous over power, we get jealous over position, we have a tendency to cut everybody else down. And that's not the way to do it. Oh, we didn't do that in the New Testament, did we? Oh, it seemed like the Pharisees and the scribes, they cut down Jesus all the time. They were jealous. Pride is a huge issue. It's one of the biggest issues that we face, and jealousy is at the heart of pride. So they seek for something to complain against Daniel, and I just can't even imagine this. They couldn't find one. And you can almost imagine in our human nature, when we can't find mud against somebody, we get angry about it. But they couldn't find any ground to complain or fault because he was faithful. Notice that as first. It's not that he was perfect in his flesh, but he was faithful. And that's what we see when we look to those of old. King David. King David, we always call him as the apple of God's eye. Scripture speaks about it. But it wasn't that David was perfect in his human flesh. He made a lot of errors. But what was the great thing with David was his faith. He had a faith that was, if you could say it, unquenchable. So Daniel was faithful. He had served many kings, served many years, went through a lot of turmoil, even took risks with his own life that he could go on his own diet, do his own things in the past. And he's shown himself faithful. So being faithful, they couldn't find errors. They couldn't find faults from him. They couldn't get the mud to make him get out of his position. Now you may say, well, Pastor, you just brought up the whole thing of our political world. Yeah, that's all they do. When's the last time you heard a true politician stand up and say, that guy is awesome? That guy has fought hard, done well, and really applied himself. There's not much traction in that, is there? We like the mud. We like the dirt. But they couldn't find anything on Daniel because God was with him. And he sought first for God. So, they're not dumb. They'll figure out a plan. Human beings, we always have a tendency in our fallen nature to figure out a plan. So these men turn around and they say, we're not going to find any fault or ground to complain against Daniel unless we actually change the rules of the game. Unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. With the law of his God. So these high officials, these princes, they all come to agreement. And they said, basically, O King Darius, live forever. Give him that praise. Live forever. And all the high officials in the kingdom, and all the prefects, and all the satraps, all the counselors and the governors, they agree with the king. They agreed that the king should establish an ordinance or an enforcement of injunction. Wherefore, that makes a petition that if any man makes a petition to God, any other god, for 30 days, except to you, O king, they shall be cast. They should be cast in the den of lions. Verse 7. The interesting thing here is, what do they say? All the high officials of the kingdom, all the prefects, all the satraps, and all the counselors agree. Is that true? Daniel was number one of three. Do you think he agreed with this? The ends justifies the means. And so they basically turn around and they lie to their king. This shows their quality. This shows their flaw. This shows their weakness. And so they lie in reality to the officials. I mean, to the king, saying that everybody agreed. Daniel wasn't brought into this conversation. Now, O king, establish this injunction and sign it, that the document, and sign the document so it cannot be changed. In other words, they're seeking to lock this in because they want to trap Daniel. According to the law of the Medes and the Persians, it cannot be revoked, and this was the established rule. Therefore, King Darius signed the document, very foolish on his part. Why do you think he did that? Oh, it's good to be king, isn't it? The reality of it is pride often can get in the way with our leaders too. And so Darius was being pumped up that really nobody should pay respect to anybody but you. And they're basically calling him a god, which was very understandable in the ancient times. They would do this often. Many of the leaders thought they were gods. And so with this pride, with what's going on, Darius foolishly signs this injunction. Also being lied to, saying that everybody agrees with it. This is the key turning point. When Daniel knew the document had been signed, he runs and hides. Is that what it says? Not at all. It's not at all what it says. When Daniel knew the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had his windows in the upper chamber facing towards Jerusalem. Really, they would pray facing towards Jerusalem in remembrance of the temple, which was also the remembrance of all the sacrifices for each and every one. And so also in that, we pray in reality to Christ, in Christ Jesus' name, for that same reason, that we would remember his sacrifice, his understanding for his redemption for each and every one of us. So Daniel is basically showing respect for what God had established before, though it was destroyed now. But anyway, so he did exactly what he always done. This, to me, is integrity. Human beings may change all the rules, but the reality of it is Daniel still continues in his faithfulness to continue to do what was right. And so he goes, and he doesn't change a thing. He gets down on his knees. The Judeans would pray often to God, you know, very much standing up and lifting hands. But when it was a private prayer, it was definitely more in solitude and on your knees in humbleness, basically. And so he got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. What I think is really interesting, we're kind of given an insight. He's giving thanks. He's still praising his God, though this turmoil is going on around him. How many times in our humanness, when we see difficulty and strife and all this stuff going on around us, do we sit down and say, thank you? Thank you, Lord. But that goes to show the integrity and the faith of Daniel, that it did not waver in these circumstances. We are to be continuous in the circumstances we find ourselves in the time we live in, and all of the difficulty that's going on around us. We still have amounts, huge amounts of things to be thankful for, and to seek that God's word would still continue to be distributed throughout the thing. So he did this three times a day before his God, just as he had done previously, and I love that. It's not that he did something to make a new point. He did exactly what he has always done. And we will continue to do exactly what we've always done. We'll continue to preach, we'll continue to proclaim, we'll continue to keep our doors open, we'll continue to do whatever it takes to preach the word of God. We're not making a scene. We're not out there trying to cause waves. We do what is right. And that's something that I think that we face in this day and age more than we know. We faced it a few years ago where everybody was saying, shut this, shut that, do this, do that. And what did any of that do? Honestly, it probably made more internet watchers. That's probably what it did. But we stand firm, and we keep preaching and teaching. So these men, when they did this, they came, they all agreed, they're spying them out, they come and find Daniel. Not hard to find. This is something they knew he did, he continued to do, and he will do again. So they went and they found him. They trapped him. They knew his dedication. And so, and they came and they said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of the lions? And he answers, he says, yes, the thing stands fast. Absolutely, I signed it. According to the laws and the Medes and the Persians, it cannot be revoked. This is the setup. Totally locked in. This is a point where we often would turn as human beings and say, there's no hope. What do we do now? There's no hope. So they answered and they said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you. Wait a minute. They told the king before, they all agreed. Well, if Daniel is such an honorable man that they couldn't find any fault with him unless they went against his God, why would he have agreed to this? Isn't it funny when human beings lie to get what they want? It happens once in a while. So anyways, he doesn't pay attention to you or the injunction that you have signed. And he makes a petition, not just once, but three times a day. When the king heard this, he was much displeased. And if you stop there, you'd think he's mad at Daniel. He's not. That's why you never just take scripture out of context. And he set his mind to deliver Daniel. The king knew he was played the fool. That's exactly what is happening here. The king's like, they set me up. I got to find a way to deliver Daniel. And he probably tried to do every political thing. He probably tried to do everything that he could do to try to deliver the individual. But he couldn't rescue him. It comes down to us. There's nothing a human being can do to rescue us. There's nothing a human being can do to get us off the hook. But in reality, for us in our salvation, it is founded alone in the finished work of Jesus Christ. This king had a heart to free him. But he had signed a declaration that cannot be revoked, or you would have anarchy everywhere. He foolishly jumped into something instead of looking into it. He foolishly let his pride get him in trouble, if you could say it in this way. And he's desperate. And he wants to save Daniel in his own way. He wants to figure out a path. Is there a loophole? Is there something that we can do? How many of us in our life are always trying to figure that out? Lord, is there a way I can make a deal with you? Is there a way I can just get out of this? Surrender. It's in Christ Jesus and Him alone. So he tried to find a way. Then the men came back to him once again, an agreement, and just came after him and saying that you got to do this. So then the king comes in verse 16, and he commands probably the hardest words that he had to ever say, that Daniel be brought and cast into the den of lions. That must have been hard. But there was nothing he could do. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's hard for parents. It's hard for pastors. It's hard for friends when we watch in this world and see that nothing in reality is taking hold in people's lives because they're chasing after everything else. But we of ourselves cannot save anybody. We hand them over to the Lord in truth. So this is the point that I think Darius comes to. In this awkward moment, he doesn't even fully understand Daniel's God. But he has to put the punishment down. He has to make that statement. This is the law. But he says this: may your God, who you continually serve, deliver you. This is where we need to hand everybody. We hand our children to the Lord. We hand our family to the Lord. We hand all our friends to the Lord. We pray, we teach, we speak, but we hand them to the Lord because there is nothing of ourselves that we can do. And sometimes when we act in foolishness of the pride, we can cause more damage than any healing. Darius really screwed up. And he realizes it, but he hands them over to the Lord. Doesn't mean he's done. Says the stone was brought out and laid at the mouth of the den. And then the king, can you imagine the pain in his heart? Because he loved Daniel. He had to seal it, that it would not be broken by anybody, with his own signet. And also all the governors. Then at daybreak, he does this. And the king went to his palace. And I think this is quite humorous in some ways. He spent the night fasting, which shows his love and his concern for him. He had no diversions, no music played, no entertainment, no TV, no football, no nothing. And he didn't even sleep. I bet Daniel did. The one in the middle of the lion's den, can you imagine? The angel of the Lord shuts them lions' mouths. Can you imagine how soft they are? He probably slept great. I don't know. But he lost a whole night of sleep. And then at daybreak, the king arose, and with haste he goes running down to the den of lions. This is the concern that he has. Daniel stood firm. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we can stand firm also. We stand firm in the truth of God. This world is constantly trying to tell us how to think, how to be, how to live, what to look like, what gender we are, whatever else an addition may be. I don't know. We're always being bombarded by something. It's never enough to be a child of God in this world. This world will never be satisfied with that. But can you be? Can you find contentment and great comfort in being a child of God above and beyond everything else that's happening out there? Daniel didn't change his behavior. Daniel didn't change his habits. He didn't change his commitment or his faith. He did exactly what he has always done and continued to do. He remained faithful because he knows who his God is. It seems as though, when you read this whole account, the one that's truly worked up is the king. He has a concern beyond anything that we see of Daniel in the writing. Because Daniel knows. If he got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego through that furnace, he will spare him from the lions. I don't know what your furnace looks like. I don't know what your lions look like. I don't know what your family's lions look like. But remain faithful, because God will see you through. I think Daniel was perfectly content that if the lions ate him, he would have been okay. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, because he's found his contentment in God the Father, not in these earthly circumstances. So he runs down there at daybreak. He rushes to the lion's den. And he came near to where Daniel was, and he cried out. And it says, actually, in anguish. The king declares to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Are you there? Are you alive? What's the chances? Is Daniel mad at the king? Then Daniel says to the king, "O king, live forever. This is nothing." Can you imagine? "My God sent his angel to shut the mouth of the lions, and they have not harmed me, because I have been found blameless before him." And Darius, I'm blameless before you. He says, "I haven't done any harm. Actually, the ones that did the harm were the liars, were the jealousy, the pride people. Those are the ones that did the harm." Now, does it say, the king was exceedingly glad. He was rejoicing over this. And he commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the lion's den. So Daniel was taken up out of the lion's den, and no harm was found on him, because he trusted God. Not because he trusted in himself, not because he was the lion whisperer, but because God was with him, and Daniel knew it. When it says that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fiery furnace, nothing on them was burnt. Their clothing wasn't singed, nothing. But it even says, which I want to see you do this at the next campfire you're at, they didn't even smell like smoke. No effect. We can live in this world more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loves us. We may go into furnaces, we may go into the lion's den, but we are victorious in Christ Jesus. And that's something that we need to see. Our destiny, our future is not founded on the United States of America. Beautiful as it may be, the freedoms that we take for granted, sure. It's not founded in any club or any building of a church. It's founded in the promises of God through the finished work of Jesus Christ, by his grace, through his faith that he gives to us. Be a Daniel. Stand up for truth. And stand in the midst of all the fire or the lions and praise your God. You can't do that on your own. It takes his Spirit. But boy, has he given you it. By grace through faith. In Jesus' name, amen.